ABC Radio Australia.
Tensions have risen as New Zealand's newly elected Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon, alongside his coalition parties ACT and New Zealand First, have released policies that essentially will somehow dial back the usage of even the country's official languages, te reo. There's also plans also to scrap anti-smoking legislation and the Māori Health Authority. This sparked nationwide protests from the community organised by Te Pāti Māori. So how did it go? And what is this political party hoping will happen from these protests? Well, joining us live this morning as co-leader of Te Pāti Māori, it is Debbie Ngārewa Peka. With that, I say morena, Debbie.
Morena.
Always great to catch up, and I really appreciate it. The first time we've been able to discuss here on ABC Pacific. I want to ask, well, actually congratulate, before we get to the protest, there were some big gains for your party on the two new MPs. That now makes six in total, correct, from Te Pāti Māori? I mean, how proud are you of these achievements?
I was super proud. I mean, we are the only Indigenous party, and we were the only party that stood up against quite an extreme right wing leaning this election. So we're really proud, and I guess it shows that, you know, our people don't support the way that the government's going, and they gave us that unanimous support. So extremely humbled and proud.
Yeah, awesome. Debbie, what was really interesting as I watched this unfold on my social media, you know, what was surprising was that Prime Minister Chris Luxon himself not really knowing anything about the protests. Was that a surprise for you?
Yeah. No, it's not too surprising. You know, the Prime Minister, current first term Member of Parliament, actually, last 2020, and first term Prime Minister, obviously, hasn't got a strong record with Māori, hasn't been involved in Māori communities' activities, hasn't really been a part of advancing any kaupapa. So he's still got to be inducted into understanding 20% of the population who make up our tangata whenua, taking on board that we also have our important tuakana, our Pasifika relations. And so, yeah, he would be what I would class as extremely ignorant on Māori aspirations of politics.
Yeah, and when we think about policies that have been part of this new government's 100-day plan, even to hear the removal of te reo from government agencies, I mean, does this actually paint the government as racist?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, and it's not, I mean, if you didn't want to have a view from those who are affected as tangata whenua, those of our Pacifica communities, I mean, they don't even have a Pacifica member within the whole party, but also the amount of tangata tiriti, those of our non-Māori who stood with us, are extremely concerned about what it is that they're dialing back, what the impact on those of us as a nation who are barely addressing the inequities. As Indigenous people, you know, and you probably know, we are the highest incarcerated. We are the dying 7 to 10 years earlier than non-Māori. Educationally, we're failing because we are, you know, locked in systems that were designed for European, designed by Victorian England, and they haven't been designed in consideration of where this whenua is and tangata whenua. So, yeah, it's really concerning about how far they're prepared to dial us back. But, you know, I said in the House yesterday, this hatred and this anti-Māori sentiment is being met with some of the most staunchest resistance. So where we see this going is that we first of all call ourselves together. We call ourselves to stand up against any racism, doesn't matter which race it is, but also make sure that we show the government, as we did anti-apartheid, as we did anti-nuclear, as we did with women's votes. It's always been activism in Aotearoa. And we've got a greenhorn Prime Minister who's getting his first shot of what tangata whenua can achieve.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk about the fact that, you know, currently 5,000 New Zealanders die from the harms of tobacco-related illnesses every year. Again, we know that Māori Pacific have the highest smoking rates. But the government want to repeal the Smoke-Free Act. I mean, at the end of the day, who wins, who loses?
Well, you know, it's actually a little bit more sinister than that, if it was just that. But actually what they want to do is dial it back so that they can give tax cuts to their rich mates. And I think that's what we're captured in, and we're seeing this across the world. We're captured in a moment in time when those who participate in democracy, don't forget we had over 1 million in Aotearoa who didn't vote. You know, like nearly 20%+ didn't vote, participate in our so-called democracy system. The actual democratic system on election day had massive failures with electronic, access and things. But the reality is that we have to remind ourselves again that the smoking is, and lung cancer is our highest, as you said, cause of death. It's an avoidable. 3 times more Māori and Pacifica die from this. It is an avoidable solution, an avoidable deaths. We have solutions. We need to follow through for them. But again, it's, and I guess, in a really direct way, I want to say to you, it is like watching the manifesto of the colonizers in 1840. And I know for some that sounds extreme, but we've had sponsored state terrorism in Aotearoa. I come from Taranaki, from Parihaka, and we have seen this before, and it's truly revolting. It's truly revolting to see it getting so much power in 2023. So thankfully, we've got 70% of our populations are under the age of 40, and there is a resistance that they have never seen. I just think that this Prime Minister's bitten off more than he can chew, and if he wants to be more than a one-term Prime Minister, he's going to have to dial it back. But we've got a bit of resistance to do yet.
And I don't want to rehash this, but, this came across on Insta was, New Zealand First MP Shane Jones saying that you operate from a platform of victimhood. Well, what it really is your response to that?
I mean, Shane's actually got Waka Papa, but he's in a Pākehā-driven party that does not have the best interests of Māori at heart. We are survivors of colonisation, and we are anything but victims. And I guess, that's that sort of shaming that's going on. We've nicknamed him Shame Jones, by the way. But that's that shaming going on to try and justify and deflect from the harm that they're doing. And we just got to, ignore. We've got a couple of grumpy old uncles in Parliament, and you've just got to ignore them and just stay aspirational and, stay connected to reminding ourselves that we are not the problem waiting to be punished. We are tangata whenua, we are beautiful. Our mokopuna are beautiful. My mokopuna are Māori and Pacifica. They're the best mokos in the world, by the way. And we just have to stay focused on what a futuristic Aotearoa needs to look like. And it's not this that we're seeing at the moment. And we said yesterday in the House, stay positive, stay united, stay focused on what is good about us, and keep saying it to yourself and to everyone else.
Yeah, and talking about staying united, Toitū te Tiriti. Of course, it was a nationwide action day. Yeah. Debbie, are you aware of how many actually across the country participated? Again, what was the intentions, and do you believe you accomplished what you wanted?
Oh, absolutely. I think our intention was first and foremost to give rise to our people and to hear ourselves and be ourselves and to never, ever feel that you're alone in this that's going on. I come from an electorate that is huge. It's probably equal to about 39 general seats. There are at least 10,000 across my electorate. So, and again, we had 20 sites. There was, an average of, 500 to 700 in some of the small sites. The cities were just huge. They had thousands. So I don't know. And you know what's really great? Is that, we went into this with 72 hours notice. We didn't know if we'd have six people turn up. And that's what's so unique about Te Pāti Māori. We don't get media. We don't get press. We are an Indigenous, unapologetic Indigenous voice. And we truly rely on social media and our relationships, our wanangatanga. And I think if that's what we can do in 72 hours, wait for the next.
Yeah, which might be really a good encouragement, obviously, when we think about First Nations here in Australia. And I know you're well aware of that, but moving forward, what are the next steps for Te Pāti Māori?
Our next steps are, obviously the House opened up yesterday, so our next steps is to stand as a tira, stand united in the House, cover that, hold these politicians and this revolting government to account. The second thing is to continue to grow the movement outside of us, and there will be a series of events and triggers that will be given very quick notice to continuously grow and disrupt the thinking. We have a huge Māori economy, and so far we've been really humble and not, not triggered some of the other reactions that could really affect this government. So at the moment, it's like carrying on with the activism and giving notice that you are only going to get away with so much, and then we are going to, you know, stop things even worse than we did the other day. So we just got to stay focused on what it is that we're here to do.
Yeah, and look, we wish you well, Debbie. We appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much for joining our show. No worries.
Anytime.
Ngā mihi. That is co-leader of Te Pāti Māori, Debbie Ngāriwa-Packer, speaking to us from Aotearoa.